Ooh, tasty high note.
Oh, hi, don't mind me. I'm practicing my new baritone sax. I just heard PayPal's paying for people's stuff every day for 100 days, and there's 10 million up for grabs. All you have to do is use PayPal checkout online. So there's never been a better time to buy a few things off the old wish list. Like this leaf blower!
PayPal could pay for your purchase. The Great PayPal Checkout.
No purchase necessary. Ends July 18th. See official rules at paypal.com/thegreatpaypalcheckout/terms. Participating merchants only must use PayPal Checkout online. Coverage of up to $100 and eligible purchases per card.
My guest today is Griffin McElroy, here to discuss his review of Pokemon Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire. I'm Justin McElroy, and you're listening to Polygon's Quality Control. Griffin McElroy,
that's me.
You're gonna have to help me on this one.
Okay.
Okay. I usually come up with a comprehensive list of questions for my interview subject. In
sure.
This case, I have leaned on the people to do that heavy lifting for me.
I see you've slid a piece of paper across the table to me. Written on the piece of paper is Vulpix, and then a question mark. And
that's my only question.
That's your only question is Vulpix?
Vulpix?
No.
Okay, Griffin, what is Pokemon Omega Ruby?
Whoops. That ain't it.
That ain't it. What is Pokemon Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire?
Pokemon Oris. We can call it that because what a title, right?
Wow.
I thought they were swinging for the fences with Heart Gold and Soul Silver, but no, they done did it again, didn't they?
Yeah.
And harder, better, faster, and stronger. Pokemon Oris is a 3DS remake of Pokemon Ruby and Sapphire, which came out on the Game Boy Advance in, I want to say, 2003 or 2004?
2003,
the year of our Lord 80. It is the third sort of major remake that that the Game Freak has done in this series. The first being Pokemon Fire Red and Leaf Green, which are remakes of the first generation of Pokemon on Game Boy Advance, and then Heart Gold and Soul Silver, which came out on the DS, which were remakes of the second generation of Pokemon games. Those had the Poke Walker. I don't know if you remember that. I don't know if you ever got down on the Poke Walker. I was a big fan of that. They've basically given the Pokemon X and Y treatment to those Game Boy Advance games, Pokemon Ruby and Sapphire. It has the same sort of visual overhaul that Pokemon X and Y brought to the table. It has a lot of the same features that those games had. It has a lot of the same surprisingly robust online functionality that those games had.
At the risk of sounding pedantic, aren't all Pokemon games remakes? Yes, thank you. Yes, thank you for saving me the indignity of having to say that out loud. But yeah, I mean, aren't they all remakes of Pokemon Red and Blue?
To varying degrees. I mean, I don't think that there is a franchise in gaming right now that iterates as slowly as Pokemon does, because even the games that have it's weird because I don't think there's also another franchise that can get away scot-free with just sort of updating its mechanics but still like following the same exact like critical path and plot structure, literally the same thing for the past, what, like 16 years. Because even Pokemon X and Y, which came out last year and was probably my favorite Pokemon game since the original generation and their respective remakes, it added a lot of stuff, right? It added like that incredible online functionality. It added some really smart ways of tackling the game's super obscure methods of training. It was a really terrific game, but you're still collecting 8 gym badges. You're still going after the Elite Four. You're still like thwarting the attempts of a team. There wasn't like a whole lot of variation there. I think the big changes in Pokemon are almost always the mechanics of the game, and those have changed very, like, drastically. Like, it is a completely different beast than it was back in the Red and Blue days. Because a lot of the ideas that were sort of introduced back then of, you know, type matching and all that stuff have become, like, much, 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 much more complex as new Pokemon and new types and new, like, hybrid types and new moves were introduced. It is a much deeper, I would say, strategic experience than it once was.
All right, Griffin, rather than try to come up with something intelligent to ask on my own, I'm just going to...
You played Pokemon X and Y, right?
Ish. I mean, okay. Like a little bit.
All right.
And then I was like, wait a minute. I've played this. Let's get to the people. And I'm going to just kind of read these verbatim. Hopefully they're not secretly asking something profane.
Okay.
Using coded Pokemon language, but here we go. First question is from Tyler. I should note, we got several questions about post-game content, which Griffin says he's not allowed to talk about. Is that correct?
Yeah, not until launch day. I mean, there is, so they announced there's an extra sort of story chapter to the game called the Delta episode, which I actually talked about a little bit in the review. It's neat. I mean, it's cool. It's some of the best story stuff in the game. But I mean, you have to beat the game before you get to it. And there's some other, you know, there's some other stuff. Sort of. I would compare it more to Pokemon X and Y's post game content. It's not like you unlock like another continent to go explore. But there is some stuff there.
So here's our first actual question: what was your favorite Pokemon to pet in Pokemon the Touch'ems minigame?
Pokemon the Touch'ems minigame. I mean, the obvious answer is the more humanoid Pokemon, right? Because it's like when you're touching a Machop, you're just touching a guy. You know what I mean? Like, you're just petting a man at that point. When you're petting a Hitmonchan, you're just touching their biceps lovingly, and they like it. Like, they're not like, I don't know. They're not like...
They don't make it weird.
They don't make it weird. They're not punching at you, saying, hey, buddy, what are you doing? I'm just trying to have a drink after work. You're just touching a man. That stuff is still in the game.
Follow-up question from Tyler.
Yeah.
That is sort of not directly related to this, but wanting you to weigh in, I guess. Do you feel review scores should be looked at as comparative rankings? Or the scores are part of the job you don't like and wish were not socially obligated to, quote, pull out of your ass.
It's weird, right? Because
I imagine that question is especially relevant here.
It is. Because like,
how do you score a game like Pokemon?
It's hard. I mean, I don't score it is the easy answer.
Well, sure. Right. That's something a team of editors agree on. But still.
Here's the problem. It's a thought experiment more than anything, right? Because Pokemon X and Y came out last year, added all this amazing shit, right? It is the boldest, most innovative Pokemon game probably ever since the original, right? It added the most stuff that any Pokemon game I think ever has. I really had a great time with that game, and was very pleased by how, after like over a decade, it finally started taking a big, brave approach to iteration, right? And then Pokemon Auras comes out, and it has all of the same features that Pokemon X and Y had in it. It had, you know, the same sort of visual polish, a few new things to, like, sort of make the world feel a little bit more alive, like, you know, Pokemon bird, Pokemon flying overhead, little touches like that. A few other additions that, like, aren't so amazing, but still has all of the content, still has all of the features that Pokemon X and Y had in it that I really liked. What do you do there? You know what I mean? Like, it's do you approach it from, well, this has all the same stuff that Pokemon X and Y had in it? I mean, it doesn't exactly. I can get back to that later, but It has, you know, the online functionality and all these extra modes that Pokemon X and Y had in it. And I gave that game a 9.5. So, like, if it has all the same stuff, then it's got to be better than a 9.5, right? Well, at the same time, like, it's also not doing anything really new. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, it is not this bold innovation. It sort of feels like an expansion pack to Pokemon X and Y, where it has a lot of the same features. It has the same sort of look and feel, only it's in this new, you know, sort of setting with new, you know, with different characters. It's like, I don't know, for me, the experience of playing something new and fresh and exciting is the more important thing than, you know, just looking at an arbitrary list of features and saying, like, you know, going down the checklist saying, like, well, this has the player search system too, this has Pokemon Touch'ems too, then obviously it's going to, you know, my scale is going to go from 9.5 to 10. Like, that's crazy town. There's no way that we should evaluate stuff like that, I don't think.
I have a question here from Eddie.
Well, who says, can I get back to one other thing?
Yes.
Also, I mentioned this in the review, but I think that the sort of story and critical path of Pokemon Omega Red and Alpha Sapphire is, like, among the series' worst. It's just, like, it gets to be kind of a slog there. For a while, you almost never know what you're doing, like, two steps ahead of time. Like, everything you do in the game is somebody runs up to you and is like, hey, go deliver this letter to this neighboring town, and then you do it, and then once you do that, the person you give the letter to is like, cool, now I need you to go to this other town. Mm-hmm. And then you do that, and then you know, the bad team is standing in your way, and then you have to go in this building and beat their leader, and then they're going to get out of the way. It's like, it's this very, like, step-by-step-by-step approach. Like, you never have, like, an overarching sort of motive for anything that you're doing. And I know that the Pokemon games have never been especially good at that, but I don't know. I think this one is especially not great at making you feel like you have any reason to be doing any of this at all.
And now, here's a question from Eddie. Experience share was a divisive part of X and Y, but one many fans and critics love. Does it return in this game? And if so, do you feel it's the proper way forward for the series?
Yes and no. I certainly appreciate not having to grind. That was always the most painful experience of Pokemon games, was...
besides playing them.
Come on. You run out of trainers at some point in a lot of the earlier games. Pokemon X and Y actually refreshes some of the trainers after you beat them and return to the areas where they are, which is very helpful. But you would run out of trainers, right? And then in order to take on the Elite Four, who are typically, like, extremely high level, very, very difficult to beat, you would have to just, like, run around and grind on Victory Road. And the fact that I'm saying all this shit and it literally applies to every Pokemon game, like, ever made is kind of crazy.
Except for Pokemon Snap.
Pokemon, yes.
Pokemon Mystery Dungeon.
Thank you, Justin.
And Pokemon Blood on the Sand.
That one's debatable.
Not canon.
The experience share came in Pokemon X and Y, basically made it that every Pokemon in your party that didn't battle still got a half share of the experience. Which ultimately, like, I forget what the math is, but it means, like, you get, like, 3.5 times the amount of experience that you normally would for beating any individual Pokemon. And it does make it a lot easier to keep all of your team leveled up without having to worry about, you know, switching them into battle, taking a couple hits, and then switching them out, which is really annoying and a very laborious way of, like, boosting your characters. At the same time, I was almost 10 to 15 levels above every trainer I fought throughout the course of the game.
Wow.
Until I got to the end there, like, the last, I don't know, the back half of the game is actually a little bit more difficult, and then by the time I got to the Elite Four, I was close to on par with them. But it was never, like, especially challenging. I think the experience share has, like, a lot to do with that.
So it makes the game a little easier.
But it makes it easier.
Always good.
But, I mean, I'm also sick at Pokemon.
You also have 6 skills.
All right. I think
so many questions.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
Dylan says, what are your thoughts on the lack of transparency regarding information about Oris? Outside of the new megas and plot details, Game Freak hasn't really spelled anything out for the public. Questions like how will X and Y megastones go into Oris and is there a battle frontier are being spun in a million different ways on social media, and it rings to me as off. That seems to me, as an outside observer, is like, there ain't a lot of, I mean...
There's just not a lot of new stuff, guys. Like,
it's a Pokemon game, so there's not a whole lot of surprise anyway. You gotta let them save something, right?
I haven't tried transferring stuff over to X and Y, so I don't know about the Mega Evolution Stones. But, I mean, there are new Mega Evolutions and new stones to find in the game. It's a major video game developer, so, like, I don't know how much transparency you can expect there, but I think, actually, Justin's probably more on point in that it's a fine game, but it really is a lot of more of the same. So I think that's probably the biggest contributing factor.
Tom asks, says, your review makes it sound like I can easily enjoy Auras as a quasi-sequel to X and Y without having any nostalgia towards Ruby Sapphire. Would you say this is accurate? I never played Ruby Sapphire back in the day.
Yeah, sure. Ruby and Sapphire aren't my favorite of the games. I don't harbor, like, a lot of nostalgia for them. When I say that, like, they make me feel nostalgic, it's more like the I don't know, the world sort of feels more like the classic Pokemon games did, which is to say they're, like, really disjointed. I really liked Pokemon X and Y because it had this sort of cohesive feel, like the world had this very cohesive feel that the older games didn't have, because the older games were basically like, now you're in Fire Town. And that stuff.
Why did we move here? I hate it here.
I hate Fire Town. That stuff
I told
is,
you it would be like this, Richard.
That stuff is silly, but I don't know. It's I like it. I've missed it a bit.
Brian says, for several years now, Pokemon games have released on an annual schedule, but I rarely hear this brought up as much as I do for other games like Call of Duty and Assassin's Creed. Do you think the frequency of Pokemon releases has undermined innovation in the series?
I don't know if it's frequency as much as it's just like, I'll be frank with you. I have no goddamn idea why they aren't experimenting at all with this franchise. And when they do, it's always like these spin-off, you know, off brand things, which are typically not super great. So I don't know, maybe there's a reason
they got it right once and they just want to keep going to the well.
Right. It's, I think they have this fear that, like, if you don't go for the 8 gym badges and you don't go for the Elite Four, it's not a Pokemon game. Like, to them, that is what a Pokemon game is. When really, like, I don't know, I did a piece earlier this year, a feature on hacked Pokemon ROMs, where people basically made their own homebrewed Pokemon games, and a lot of the stuff that they were doing was actually really bizarre and really clever, like a zombie apocalypse Pokemon game, and stuff like that. And obviously, like, Nintendo would never do anything like that, but I mean, it is interesting to see this a basic functionality of catching and training and these deep role-playing game systems being used in some other format other than the same shit that we've been doing for 16 years. Because at the end of the day, in every Pokemon game since those original ones, the story and the critical path of these games is almost always the worst part, and it's crazy because it seems like the thing that would be easiest to address. Mm-hmm. I have no idea. It's beyond the pale.
Jonathan asked, did you play either Pokemon Soul Silver or Heart Gold? And if so, how do those remakes compare to these?
I'm a deeply broken person who loved the Pokewalker. Mm-hmm. I just loved it to death. I wore it all the time. And I walked all over and I transferred so many Pokemon over from that Pokewalker over to my copy of Heart Gold. And so I harbor a very special place in my heart, for that game. And so I like that one better, but again, it's because it had a little Pokewalker. So,
David says, if I put down Pokemon X after 20 hours because of lack of interest, is this new installment worth another shot?
No. Easy. I mean, I thought that Pokemon X was like the most exciting. Pokemon X and Y were the most exciting sort of new installments in this franchise that, like, I couldn't put down. I actually started playing it again, like, almost as soon as I finished beating it, because I wanted to have a more leisurely stroll through it and try and maybe catch them all. And, like, I haven't been that on fire for Pokemon in a long, long time. And if that didn't do it for you, then this game definitely isn't, because, I mean, a lot of the core mechanics are almost exactly the same as X and Y, and the story and path through the game is worse. So I would definitely say no to that.
I have some questions here from Ty. I'm just going to read a couple. What team did you use through most of the game?
Oh, I had a, oh God, I had the Marshtomp, my water starter, evolved him up.
Is he the starter you picked?
Yeah, I went with Water because okay. I played through.
That's another question.
I played Omega Ruby, and I figured I'd be fighting a lot of fire types, and guess what? I did. Had him. I had a Shiftry, grass type. Had a Glalie, which I transferred over from the demo. It's a nice type. Would recommend doing that. It's a pretty strong guy. Had a Gallade, fighting psychic type. Had a
I can't anymore. That's plenty of types. That's fine. That's plenty. Let's leave some suspense. Let's leave something for the after show, which you can find on the web. We do after show, quality control after show.
We don't do that.
Are there any new abilities, moves, or mega evolutions that you suspect will drastically change the competitive game?
I don't know, man. I will say that a lot has been made of primal reversion. Like in the last game, mega evolution was the new thing, which was this idea of being able to evolve Pokemon who are already at their max evolution in battle to make them a little bit stronger. And like it was interesting, and it did add some strategic consideration to the game. And now there's this new thing called primal reversion, which they've been talking about, which is basically just like mega evolution that you do at the beginning of a fight and only two Pokemon in the whole game can do it. So like as far as new features goes, that one's pretty dumb. Like it's not a bullet point like at all. So
I have an amazing question here from I believe Neum is the way to pronounce his name. Did they finally fix Dragonite so she looks sleek and badass as befits the grace and beauty of Dratini and Dragonair? Or does she look as disappointing as she did when I first saw her evolve from Dragonair in red and cried and switched off my Game Boy, losing at least an hour of progress just because I didn't want to be sidled with that failure of dragon design?
I don't think I saw a Dragonite the whole time I played the game, but I feel your pain, man. It's a goofy looking thing.
Can you get those super shiny Charmanders this time? That's from Eddie.
Super shiny Charmanders.
I don't know.
Like they're what? Like they're wet?
Apparently.
All right.
James asks Griffin, "Would you say your Rattata is different from the regular Rattata, and is it in the top percentage of Rattatas?"
I'm starting to think that maybe these questions...
I think they're just trolling us. This last question comes from James, who says, doesn't have a Gastly. Sorry, let me try that again.
Yeah,
you didn't understand the question because I didn't read it properly.
Yeah.
Does it have a Gastly?
Again, I didn't see a Gastly.
Say it again.
Gastly.
Griffin McElroy, thank you so much for joining me here on the show.
It's been a pleasure.
Thanks to you for listening and soldiering on through there. I know it got really boring, what with all the talk about Pokemon, but I'm really proud of you for making it to the end. If you got questions for us about an upcoming game, email qualitycontrol@polygon.com, and maybe we'll read about it. I know we'll have one for Far Cry 4 coming up, and I'm not sure what else.
Maybe. I'm reviewing Smash Wii U.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to come
WWE
back to that.
Review in the pipe, probably.
Yeah.
If you're interested in that. So you can email questions about those games, qualitycontrol@polygon.com. If you get a second, if you could go leave us a review or rating and a subscription on iTunes, that really helps us out a lot. Maybe tell a friend to listen to the show. Tweet about it with a link to it. All that stuff is really grand. And until the next time we have a game to talk about, for Griffin McElroy, I'm Justin McElroy, and thank you for listening to Polygon's Quality Control.
Catch 'em, gotta catch 'em all. Gotta catch 'em all. Do you want to do the whole Pokemon rap? Nidoran, Gastly, Jiggly Guy, Charman, Squirt Boy. Squirt Boy's one of them, right?